I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's Midday Interview. It's my pleasure to have Lois Carol Wheatley in the studio. She has written a book that is one of a series. The series is called Images of America, and this one is Images of America, Carolina Beach. It's an amazing history in pictures and words of Seabreeze, Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, Fort Fisher, and I think you'll find some fascinating history in there. I certainly did, and some relatively unknown history. And I imagine that she had to haunt a lot of private collections and museums and libraries to get all this research done. So first of all, Lois Carol Wheatley, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot.
Do talk about the research for this book, because there's so much going on in there, and a lot of it history I haven't seen written down elsewhere.
Well, especially the section on Seabreeze, I got inspired to do this by realizing there were no books or anything, any articles, any kind of information on the shelf about Seabreeze. I was able to find a master's thesis that was very helpful by Jennifer Edwards 10 years ago, but I felt like there should be a book or some kind of reference source, and I pitched the idea to Arcadia Publishing, and they persuaded me to expand my focus and take in the whole island, which, in retrospect, was probably the better idea.
Yeah, and it looks like Arcadia Books has a whole series.
Oh, they have thousands of titles, and as a matter of fact, when I show this book to people, they say, oh, I've seen that book before, because they all look the same, kind of the sepia tone photograph on the cover and the same kind of cover design, and I'm like, well, that's not likely, since this book just came out. You know, you've seen one like it, I'm sure.
Now, your research did take you to places like the county library system, Cape Fear Museum, private collections, and also you did some personal interviews.
I did. Several, really, but as far as Seabreeze goes, my biggest aide down that area was William Freeman. He grew up down in Seabreeze in his grandfather's house, Roscoe Freeman's house, and he still lives in that house, and I'm convinced that house, I got the tip of the iceberg off of him. He always told me he was too busy to go looking for photos for me, but I'm convinced that that house is packed to the rafters with Seabreeze stuff that
I
felt like was just beyond my grasp a little bit to get any more than I was able to get. And I made myself pretty obnoxious. I went over there 3-4 times. Yeah.
Well, they should be glad that this history will be represented on the shelf now with these wonderful photos and the information you were able to get. Now, the book does encompass not only Seabreeze, but Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, Fort Fisher, that whole area. But let's go ahead and focus on Seabreeze, since it isn't spoken of so often. People know about the Fort Fisher Hermit. They know about the Civil War trenches and bunkers down in that area, but they don't necessarily know about Seabreeze. What was Seabreeze?
Okay, during the Jim Crow area, when all the beaches were segregated, a big chunk of Carolina Beach, most of it actually, was owned by the Freeman family. Their name lives on at Freeman's Beach, and a lot of them still live down there, like Bill Freeman. And they started selling lots in around 1921 or so, and hotels started going up. And at its height, there had to be 30, 40 restaurants, diners, eateries. There were bands playing there every night. The music was cranked up to a decibel level. It could be heard for many miles around. And the upshot of the music scene was beach music. So it was, they were playing early R&B, and white teenage boys were sneaking in and picking up on the dance and the moves and carrying them over to Carolina Beach and other areas. And it was the forerunner of the shag dancing, that the early soundtrack on that.
So this was a completely black area. All
black owned.
The Freeman family,
completely.
They owned it, and all these businesses were run by black owners. And the residents there,
was the shocking thing. It was just completely black owned and black run. And the farm hands would come in off the fields on weekends to spend all their hard earned money. And all the military men came off the local bases. And cars were parked down both sides of the street all the way out to the main road. And they had amusements and sideshows and rides. A lot of the amusements were run by a gentleman called Snake Man, and he had a little zoo, which I assume had snakes. And Bill Freeman lived over just a little to the side of the place with his very strict grandfather, who wouldn't let him go down there.
Huh.
But boys will be boys. And he had one story about burrowing under the side of a sideshow tent and coming in on a strip show.
Of course. That's how young kids would get into those, just kind of sneak under the tent. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Lois Carroll Wheatley. She's written a book, has wonderful photographic images in it. It's called Images of America, Carolina Beach, which is a history in pictures of Seabreeze, Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, and Fort Fisher. Now, there are a number of important events associated with that area. Of course, the Civil War, Prohibition with all the rum runners, Hurricane Hazel, all of that's gone on there. And we've talked about at least one notable resident there, Bill Freeman, William Freeman and his family. And all that was going on about the same time as the Harlem Renaissance.
Right.
And in fact, what we call beach music now and shag dancing was at the time called race music.
Right.
So let's talk a tiny little bit about Malcolm Ray Chicken Hicks and how he fit into that scene.
As I mentioned, the white teenage boys were sneaking in, and Chicken Hicks knew the guy who loaded the jukeboxes, both at Seabreeze and down at Carolina Beach, and he persuaded that fellow to bring some of the records on down to Carolina Beach that he was loading into Seabreeze. So that was one thing that he did. But Chicken danced for the rest of his life, did dancing demos all up and down the coast. Myrtle Beach has become, for whatever reason, the capital of shag dancing now, so a lot of national competitions and whatnot migrated down that way, where some of the same stuff was going on. That they called it jumping the Jim Crow rope.
Wow.
Kids down there were doing it too, and there was a very similar situation in what was called Atlantic Beach, which is still there, unlike Seabreeze, which is a ghost town. Seabreeze is gone. There's a couple crumbling old buildings still standing.
And why is that?
Well, I think a number of reasons. That the lots were all chopped up into tiny little pieces, so the ownership, I think, would be hard to get for any one person. And the city has not extended water or sewer to that area, so nobody can put in a septic field, so...
That's interesting.
So it's just a wide open, and it's still waterfront. It's right on the Myrtle Grove Sound. It's a real waste.
So it's pretty much a ghost town now.
It is.
Anybody there? Now, Hurricane Hazel did a lot of damage there
Between Hazel and desegregation are the two forces that took out the last of Seabreeze. Hmm. And a lot of the business owners rebuilt with their own hands using salvage materials from the storms. And Hazel was the first of several storms, so every time they did it, they had it to do again. And, you know, a black resort like that, they're not going to get federal aid, and they did not get federal aid. So eventually people just gave up.
Was such an important part of the culture here for black citizens, because it was a place that they could go and completely let go and socialize and dance and eat and go on the beach and everything without being harassed by anybody.
They couldn't go anywhere or do anything. So, yes, I think psychologically it was a huge thing for the community, and it's a shame what happened. Like I say, there are still some crumbling buildings still standing that people complain about. Frank Hill, one of the guys who married into the Freeman family, was often quoted as saying, Athens and Greece haven't cleaned up their ruins either.
Oh, my. Well, the whole history of that area, as we said, is fascinating, especially Seabreeze, which hasn't been that well documented. And it's interesting you mentioned the graduate thesis that you used for a part of your research, and that was by Jennifer Edwards. And I just wanted to let our listeners know that Jennifer Edwards was an intern here at WHQR at one point, and while she was getting her master's degree from UNC Wilmington, she was writing that thesis while she was working here at WHQR. So she did some good radio stories on Seabreeze. If I can find those, I'll dig them out for you.
I'd love to hear them.
But at least since you read her thesis, I'm sure you know everything that she discovered. And I imagine she must have done a lot of personal interviews, as you did as well. You know, one of the other things about the book that I really enjoyed is, besides reading the history, the photographs are many of which I've never seen before. One of my favorites in the book is just a little photo, but it shows Highway 421 or Carolina Beach Road as a two-lane, tree-shaded rural road in 1925. And when you think about Carolina Beach Road now, the contrast is amazing.
One lane.
Yeah, there you go. Now, have you written other books, Lois?
I have multiple projects in various stations of completion and stuffed in a drawer. And I suppose my next move will be to go through that and pull out something I thought I was working on before and get back to work on it. At least I got this one done, but I got completely sidetracked by by it. I've always wanted to write a real book like historical fiction or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, you've got some good seeds for it here. So there's plenty of wonderful historical background and backdrops for you to use if you decide to do that. The book is available at a number of independent bookstores in our area, like Two Sisters Bookery, Pomegranate Books. It's also available at the Cape Fear Museum and some antique shops and businesses in the Carolina Beach area. And it also is going to be available tomorrow. Where are you going to be tomorrow?
I will be at the Carolina Beach Farmers Market at the lake tomorrow from 8 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon.
You'll look for me.
I'll sign it for you.
Great. You'll see Lois there. And it's not a real thick book, but it is crammed full of photos and history. And it's got a sepia-toned picture of the boardwalk on the front of it. Images of America, Carolina Beach by Lois Carroll Wheatley. Lois, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
This is 91.3 WHQR.